Dog Show fans, welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
You are again, William. It's beautiful to see you, pal. We've got a good show for you tonight or today, whenever you're listening. We're going to talk a little bit about seminars and how they are important, especially when it comes to history and function. The Vancouver Winter Classic shows with great lineups, Hallmark movies, a little bit of hockey, and then some more stuff about dogs. So stay tuned to the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
What? Oh, come on, Cheryl. Just tell him. No, tell him I need another couple of minutes. The Hallmark Christmas movie isn't over yet, and they haven't kissed, so I don't know if the whole thing's going to work. Oh, wait. Oh, Will? Hey, Will. How you doing, buddy? I'm sorry.
Wayne.
I hope you didn't hear that.
I don't want you to miss any Hallmark.
I know. The Hallmark. I mean, I just hate to admit it, but now that the cat's out of the bag, what am I going to do? I love those movies. I love them.
You ever heard of a movie called Cuffs and Collars?
It's kind of like Westminster. Everyone knows what's going to happen at the end. And it makes it all the better.
I was at a dog show in Port Hope, Ontario one time, and the hotels were booked. I'm like, what the heck? They were filming a Hallmark Christmas movie.
They're my favorite. They're just beautiful. First of all, you get Canadian actresses that we've never heard of before a lot of the time. Or you get the recovering drug addict that was famous once as a child, took 20 years off, you haven't seen her, and bam, there she is. But I mean, you just got to love that you know exactly what's going to happen. And I love a lot of things about it, Will. I love the pickup trucks. The guys always have beautiful old pickup trucks in perfect shape and never dirty. There's snow. And by the way, the snow is always white. There's no gray. There's no brown. There's no just white snow. It fell a minute ago.
That's the way it is here all the time.
Of course it is.
We all have these trucks. They're in pristine shape. Some of them have gun racks. Some of them don't.
That's right.
And they're all registered gun racks.
That's right. And the guys all work in a bookstore or a Christmas tree farm, or they're a builder or an architect, and they don't want to take the job in the big city. But they do take the job in the big city. They take that job. And then they regret it, Will, and they come back home, and they try to kiss the girl, but it's interrupted. There's an interrupted kiss about 10, 15 minutes before the end of the movie. And that's when, oh, man, I wish they... And every time the kiss is interrupted, but the last kiss is the one that counts. And then you know everyone is going to be as good looking and as happy as their houses. How do they afford these houses? They're beautiful.
That's just the way it is up here.
I guess there must be a lot of people in their 30s, young, early 30s, that have never been married or they have a dead spouse. And that's sad. That's the only sad part of the Hallmark movie, but they make it happy. But they all are beautiful people. Well, they're all good damn looking people. And they've got great houses and great trucks. And I want my world to be just like that, Will. That's how I want it to be. You don't have to think about a damn thing. You don't have to think about anything. You just watch the Hallmark Christmas movie. It's my guilty pleasure. And yeah, I said it, damn it. You got anything to say about that there, Will? Because I like my damn movies.
Did you want to keep this stuff, Doc? I don't know.
Hey, bought dogs into it already.
He's probably at home watching one now, too. Leave me alone, Will.
I watched one last week. There was a retired Toronto Maple Leafs player. He owned his own ice complex. And they were trying to save the little city complex. And he really wanted the girl. And you knew they were going to get together. But you had to work. How is it going to work? Because he doesn't want to compete. It was brilliant, Will. The scripting is beautiful. The acting is brilliant. Everybody's beautiful. They have good teeth, Will. They have great teeth. Well, they all have good teeth. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He's retired Toronto Maple Leaf player. He probably, he's retired on a measly $5 million or something.
That's right. That's right. And the funny thing is, they used the name, and I looked it up because that's how what I do when I watch Hallmark movies, I check and see all the cast members, what they've done, where the hell they've been, Will, and where they were born, which is always Toronto or somewhere in Canada. Anyway, they used a guy, the name that was actually a hockey name. But it was from 1937.
Oh, Boomer Jackson.
It was something I never heard of. And there's another guy on the team with the same last name, a different first name. It was brilliant casting, Will. I'm telling you. And just like dog shows, where the top winning dogs are going to do something at the end of the day, right? We all know that. It's the same. They get the interrupted kiss. Sometimes they lose the breed right off the bat. Or they go second in the group. But typically, we pretty much know it's going to be there at the end of the day, don't we? We know that. Yeah, it's the same thing. They just don't have clean pickup trucks, these dogs. They have dirty vans because they run hard through the snow. Inside's clean. Don't get me wrong. All right. Enough of that. On the hockey.
I hope you know one. When do they show these movies?
All day and all night. You can get to a marathon this time of year, Will. You can just put on the damn Hallmark Channel at 6 a.m. and go all night. And you have to make up your mind.
Brought to you by Hallmark Cards.
And the dogs never have stinky breath. Speaking of dogs and hockey, did you see what happened to the poor Philadelphia Flyers, Will?
No, what happened?
They trotted out the hero dogs, right, before the game. And they were lovely dogs, Will. They were beautiful. But one of them, you know, he just didn't have a chance to go.
Uh-oh.
Dropped the deuce right on the Philadelphia Flyers logo, right in the middle.
Oh, no. Just like a Pittsburgh Penguin.
I wonder if it was Alain Vigneault's dog. I wonder if
he, oh, man.
Well, he got fired. Send that thing out there. Don't let him poop.
Did this really happen? How come I didn't?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. But if you can find it on YouTube, it's easy to find. See, we're transitioning from Hallmark to hockey to the dog.
That's all. It goes from ice and then dogs.
Not in the most beautiful way, the dog, but it was a dog. It was a purebred dog, no less. It was a hero purebred dog is what it was. Well, it was beautiful.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Didn't hear about that. Usually I get to hear about all those things. Usually my show up here, the Jay Onright Show, brought to you by McDonald's, we'll cover all those things.
Did they cover Devin Dubnyk?
What about Devin Dubnyk? What about him?
Well, he's your goalie for the Spangler Cup, right?
Is he?
Yeah. And
he's the Spangler Cup. Isn't that in
Switzerland?
But it's in March or something.
Yeah. So he's working out. He's got a PTO. That's a professional tryout, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of like BOB and RBIS and Grand CHSM and OP in our world. It's a PTO in hockey. It's called the professional tryout.
Where is he doing that?
Charlotte. Checkers in the A. Yeah. And that's the AHL. It's American Hockey League. We just go right to the A.
He was a good goaltender, Devin.
He's a real good goaltender. They had a couple of rough, the last year wasn't his best. So he's had some time off and he's back in the game. And we'll see how he does for you for the Spangler Cup. If the NHL doesn't cooperate in the Olympics, then he's your Canadian goaltender.
Wow.
You might want to get a Dubnyk jersey.
Yeah, Dubnyk jersey. Well, I do, you know what? I do watch the Spangler Cup, and usually it's on at 7 a.m.
Yeah, because it's Switzerland.
And their jerseys are covered in advertising. There's one little maple leaf flag in the center, and the rest is all Tissot and all kinds of
advertising. We need to get sponsored and wear suits with logos all over them in Orlando. Well, we need to have all the logos, huh?
I would do it.
I think it's great. I think we look sharp too. Who wants to sponsor our masks? Anybody out there? Maybe the NHL would do it for us. Well, I don't know. Maybe they would. Anyway, we do want to talk about a couple of dog things besides anything
besides Hallmark and hockey. And did you see the Leaf game against the Jets the other night? Never mind.
Well, they've been on a roll. We're going to leave that one alone until next week. Anyway, I was looking on the computer thing and on the interweb. And I noticed Some video footage from Vancouver, Vancouver Island. Yeah, they call it the Winter Classic out there.
Yeah, I guess that was a Tai Kennel Club, or it's a Tai. I can't remember what name the kennel club is. No, but yeah, it's the Winter Classic.
Well, I got to tell you, if anyone ever thinks, you know, I can tell you that. Well, when I work for the AKC, when you live in New York and work in New York, there's the West East Coast, there's the West Coast, and there's a couple of M&I states in the middle. You know, Michigan, Montana, Indiana, Illinois, they don't really count. And then you move out here and you realize just how much they count. Same thing with, I think, maybe, Americans probably in the back of their mind go, Canada dog says it's nice, but where's the quality? Oh, you mean the ones that don't come down to win Westminster?
Yeah.
But I can tell you that lineup, those lineups in Vancouver were extraordinary.
Yep, they were strong. I watched them as well. Yeah,
man, they were strong. There was one night in particular where I thought, easy Garden lineup, just beautiful and depth too. So don't think that the quality and the numbers aren't there in Canada. It's just a smaller population with fewer.
Yeah, we don't have the numbers per se, but we do have the quality. You know, if you look, I hate to bring this up, but the two greatest winning dogs in American history, greatest winning dog of all time, is Mystique, the Shepherd bitch. Yep. Canadian. Yep. The greatest winning male dog of all time, Matisse, the Portuguese water dog. Canadian.
Who was defeated by a Canadian beagle. That's Mr. Best and Joe, bred in Canada.
Canada. Oh, this is a good call. We were talking to Peter Kubaj the other day. He always calls it Canada. I got to tell you, he does. He always calls it Canada. I got to tell you, one time he was up here at a set of shows, and he called me for something because I wasn't at the show yet because he was in between shows, but he was camping at the show, say. I said, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, today's a holiday. What are you doing? It's Wayne Gretzky Day up here in Canada. He's like, what? I said, yeah, you better get to the grocery store early. It's going to be very busy and order your rabbit right now because Wayne Gretzky Day, you won't get a rabbit. You know, that's what we all have on Wayne Gretzky Day up here in Canada. It took him a while to figure out I was messing with him.
I'll bet it did. What a good guy, teacher. I've known him since he was born.
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious. He's a great guy.
He is. He's got great sense of humor, as does his dad and mom.
Yeah. Well, his dad started with the Canadia, and Peter just carried on.
Yeah, I love Randy. I like when I see him in a show. You know, a lot of people don't remember who he is because he hangs out over in the corner with his cool T-shirts. And I love going to talk to Randy. It's the highlight of my day.
The last time I saw him, he's got the ponytail and the beard. He looks a bit like Robin Williams.
He does. He's such a good guy. Yeah. And Anne-Marie, what she's done for this dog world is just unbelievable. Anyway, yeah, those were super lineups up there. And I really, there's great dogs in Mexico too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, if I think frozen semen's helped a lot. And just the ability to not have to breed to a dog next door has helped a lot. I know in Irish Wolfhounds, you're not going to ship an Irish Wolfhound bitch from California to New York to get bred. It's not going to happen. It's just too hard on them and too tough. And, they're just too big.
Right.
So there was a time when you bred the dog next door. I'm talking about way long ago. But with international travel and with imported semen and frozen semen and all these options we have, and with more veterinarians who know what they're doing with these things and how to make it successful, we sure have fresh in the gene pool in a lot of these breeds. And it's truly an international sport. You know, we'll see that at the Garden.
Oh, exactly. And like you, I have a dog here right now, a young dog. I guess I can say what breed he is. He's an English setter. And the girl called me about an English setter when she first started looking for one. And I sent her to all different places and they sent her to Russia. And she brought this dog over from Russia.
Really?
And he's a lovely dog. Like they've done a very good job. He could fit in anywhere, this dog.
Wow.
So,
and well, you know, it's true in beagles for sure. Yeah, we get a lot of dogs from the Ukraine and from Russia, a lot of beagles. And it's true. And Sweden has produced so
many. Oh, my God. Sweden's done so well. Their flat coats and their scent or sight hounds are unbelievable.
Their flat coats that
Goldens, flat coats.
They get profile over there.
Yeah.
Silhouette of a flat coat is just, it gives me goosebumps every time I see a good one. You don't see many, but when you do, oh boy.
And they have rings full of them over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. You should do a seminar over there, Will. And I wanted to say that because I want to talk about seminars. And that was my beautiful, elegant segue.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's have a seminar, not having seminars. No, as you're tracking down these CEUs, you end up going to some. And I can tell you that I have been to seminars in other countries. And you and I have done a seminar in Ireland. And that gives it a whole different perspective, right? Because you, like when we were doing that, we were aware that the Irish setters in Ireland aren't presented the same way they are in America. So you make those allowances. You get to talk about those differences. And I think it's good for the breed to get more of these things going on. When Harry O'Donoghue came here and gave a Fox Terrier seminar, I was first in line.
Oh,
I mean, you know, why wouldn't you be, right? And those are, I think that's an interesting edge. I know David Miller does a lot of seminars in other countries, and he's a great teacher. But, you know, having that international input into seminars is really, I think it's vibrant, and it brings a new dynamic to seminars. And I don't know how we do it. Maybe you patch somebody in to get a different country's opinion. I mean, sure, it would be nice for Goldens to have a Swedish or English breeder on the
line. Would just give them a different perspective to look at. And like that, like I in my area where I grew up is the Toronto, Ontario area. So I was inundated with Chris Haven and Skylon Golden Retrievers, which are Judy Taylor and Jennifer McCauley. And they're all English bred and the Swedish bred dogs. So just, and I'm just so used to it that when I look other places, I don't see them. You know, you learn to adjust your eye. But I'm glad I grew up with them because they really had stamped in my head what I'm looking for. And not necessarily the color. It's the pigment, it's the coat, it's the head shape, it's the eye shape. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. You know, we're getting so used to seeing Goldens with slanted eyes that we don't even think about it anymore. But when you see those beautiful eyes from another, well, that's not true in every line, obviously.
No, it's not. Some people are doing an amazing job over here. Yeah. But let's face it, you know, a dog wins and it becomes popular and that look becomes popular. And sometimes it just goes off in the wrong direction. Well, not in whose opinion, the wrong direction, but
right.
You know what I'm saying.
I think there's it's a theory. Probably a lame theory, but one that I think about from time to time. In England, or you know, in other foreign countries as well, Europe, you'll get breeder judges. Like at Crufts, you're going to get a breeder judge, and there's only what 20 some championship shows in England, so all breed championship shows. So you're going to get pretty much breeder judges because the entries are so large that you can't have just three judges, right? You need to have judges for every breed. And sometimes, like at Crufts, it's going to take you all day, so you're getting one breed judge. That brings in a breeder judge. Okay, so do they focus more on breed-specific assets and elements? Could you say that they focus more on breed type? If there's a difference between type and soundness, I don't think there is. It's been suggested, and I can't disagree, that there's more of a focus on breed-specific qualities under a breeder judge with that number of dogs in the UK. If that's true, mm-hmm. It's like saying, you know, all blondes are dumb or something. I mean, it's just wrong to generalize. But just to gloss over this a bit, here where you have five group judges, judges with five groups, that is, and six or seven. They can't be experts in all 190 some breeds. nor do they pretend to be. And we need that because they're judging more of the whole dog, perhaps, or whatever. It's a different perspective. So when a breed drifts apart and you see two different kinds of dogs, not types, is one type, in a breed, is that a result of that division where there's more focus on breed specific points, say in the UKC and the UK, and more movement and showmanship and trimming in the AKC. So do those successful breeding programs, are they a product of combining those two? Because I know that Australia does it well, right? They're going to get a lot of American dogs and they're going to get a lot of UK dogs, and they get that type and showmanship and stuff and kind of blend it all in the middle. These are gross generalizations, ladies and gentlemen. I don't pretend that they're perfect, but it gets you back to having breed judges sort more breeds than all-arounders. And I think there's a healthy combination of both.
You can see how it can naturally happen, too. You know, we get more all-rounders, and a dog becomes appealing and becomes popular. And
off you go. I don't think it's bad.
No, it's not bad. It's
different.
Yeah.
We can talk about dogs that, and I want to bring, I hope we can figure it out, but I want to bring Dan Buchwald, our buddy, on one of these days, because he's been posting pictures of dogs on the Book of Faces that my father, God bless him, when he was alive, he could not understand how my picture could be on a book, my face would be on a book. Because my cousin would tell him, I put a picture on Wayne's Facebook. And my father wrote that there's a book with a picture of my face on it. And that's all there was to it. Anyway, Dan's putting these pictures up, classic breed type and picture of a dog. And they've been great. The Springer one was interesting. You know, got some controversy a little there. But I want to bring him on and talk more about it, because I think it does play to this country of origin and differences between countries and variances within kinds or likes and dislikes, but there's only one type in my humble
opinion. Maybe next week at Orlando we can all get together and figure this out.
That's what we can. The other thing that where this comes up, and to speaking of seminars, and like I said, I've been to a few lately. The good ones, in my opinion, have one thing in common. They focus more on history and function. When you go to a seminar and they put the breed standard up on the screen and they read through it, well, hell, I can do that at Timmy Ho's, right?
Yeah.
I can go to Tim Hortons and sit there, have a cup of coffee and a donut and read that. Not that they don't add to it. But anyone can read that and study that with some basic background and knowledge in the sport. But when you know the history and function, when they're drilling the function of that breed, and it could be any breed, it doesn't have to be a working or sporting dog at all. What is the history? Why were they bred? And why is that important? Because if you don't know that, you can read a standard and that gives you a basic static blueprint, a static blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you haven't seen a Saluki chase a rabbit across an open desert or whatever it might be, you just haven't seen the dog in action. You don't know how it's supposed to not only move, but turn and twist and behave and what they're looking for, what that expression. You can't understand an expression unless you know what that expression is intended to do.
Right.
You know, there's so much to that. And I hope that, and I think more and more seminars are doing the function in history. It could be art. It could be how the dog set into art. I want to know the history of the Queen and what she was doing with Cavaliers and English Toy Spaniels. And I want to know if it's true. I think it might be. The story's that they were trying to breed the flatter-faced dogs, so the English Toy Spaniels became the desire. And when the Cavaliers were born into a litter, they gave them to the staff to cull. And of course, the staff didn't call them. They kept them because they were adorable. And that's why you have two different.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
I don't even know if it's true, but it's a fascinating story.
Great story, yeah. Something Hallmark should look at.
They should. This one they wouldn't want to look at, but I can tell you one thing. My English Toy Spaniels, this is way before all the cool flea and tick prevention we have today. we could have two English Toy Spaniels and three pointers. And if there was going to be fleas, they would be on the English Toy Spaniels, not on the pointers. Now, I talked to an old timer once in England who said to me, that's because the English Toy Spaniels and Cavaliers were bred to sleep at the foot of the bed.
Keep the fleas off the bed.
Right. Keep the fleas off of her and onto the dog, like little flea magnets. I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you that they sure attracted, back before we had flea prevention, they sure attracted them quicker than the pointers did. I can tell you that for sure. So who knows if that history is true, but isn't it fascinating to think about?
Oh, yeah. It's like, I think I read some about the Yorkie. The Yorkie was bred to keep the rats off the bed, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know, back when, this isn't a whole long time ago. Well, it is for whippersnappers. But, you know, you can read, we could read in history books about the royalty. They had, you know, hay for beds, stuffed bags with hay in it to sleep on, and there were rats and fleas everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's how the term three-dog night came about, too. You know, it's not just a band. It was, it was cold enough for a three-dog night, three dogs in your bed.
I can tell you a true story. My brother, God bless him, he's my hero, and we'll talk about him someday. But anyway, when he was a young man, he decided he was going to move to Vermont. And so he was working for Parks and Recreation. He was probably in his late teens, early 20s. And he bought a pickup truck, saved his money, bought a pickup truck and a travel trailer, camping trailer, whatever. And he moved to Vermont and he stayed at the Elephant Mountain Campgrounds somewhere near Killington. And he was having himself a time up there. And when winter came, the guy that ran the campground said, you know, we close it down. You do understand you can't get in and out of here. It's, you know. And Brian said, well, I have no place to go. I'll just stay here in my trailer and figure it out. So the guy said, fine, no water, you know, you're on your own. So Brian was a tough guy, still is. And he called and said, hey, it's getting a little cold. And I, you know, keep up with him. And finally he called and said, hey, can you send me a dog? I said, what are you going to do? You're going to go bird hunting in 4 feet of snow? He goes, no, I'm freezing. I need one in bed with me. And yep. I did. And he got through that winter with that dog somehow. Yeah, you know, we have all these wonderful historic perspectives that really do help you understand the character of these breeds. And the character is so essential. It's so important. And without knowing that function in history, you'll never get the character. So, more power to you, the seminars that are focusing on that, not just reading us the breed standard. Same is true with webinars. Which are great.
I was just reading my friend Richard Paquette's in he's judging in Ghana. Ghana, right? Is that how it's pronounced? Ghana? Ghana? The Gold Coast of West Africa. Is that Ghana?
Say it with authority and it'll be right, Will. Just Ghana. Say it like you know. You don't, yeah. Ghana.
Damn it. But yeah. He was judging there, but he's also, I'm reading here, he did a grooming seminar for them over there, and it looked like it was really well attended. Richard, you know, was in the Shih Tzu, the drop coat breeds, and it just seems like I'm looking at these pictures, and it looks like it was very well attended, and it looks like Richard's doing a great job teaching these people how he, or even we, do our Shih Tzus over here. It looks almost impromptu, but it looks really like he did a good job. I'm sure he did because he's a good speaker, you know, Richard is. But that's interesting that he goes over there to judge and they have him do something like that. And it looks like they're out for dinner and they stopped at somebody's house and did a quick Shih Tzu seminar on how to groom your Shih Tzu and bathe and dry it.
We need more of that in the world.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of Canadians who don't get enough credit, how about that family?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they live in the middle of nowhere, Canada. They don't live on the border, right?
Well, they used to, yeah. Yeah, they used to.
They were up in the prairie somewhere, weren't they?
Paquette's, no, they were up in north, on Sudbury.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Where they filmed the moon landing. This brings us to our new podcast, yeah. Conspiracy Season.
UFOs coming up.
But yeah, you know, they drove from Sudbury every week to dog shows, and they did a fabulous job. And then their daughter Jody is living in Indiana now, I believe. Yeah. And she's just carried it on. Like, she's a phenomenal handler. So.
Boy, she sure did. And, you know, she brought all this knowledge from her parents who bred great dogs for a long time.
Yep.
So, you know, this generational thing's important, and I hope we keep it going. You know, you can't force your kids to like something, but it's nice when it happens. And, you know, we see that. We see a lot of people that have that, the good fortune of being born into the sport, that I think have a leg up, right? I mean, it's kind of like learning how to skate when you're, when do you start skating up there? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? When
you're around there, I guess, you know. Because you have to skate to the variety store.
Well, that's right.
What's to get, get your smokes and lotto tickets.
Is that what you call it, variety store?
What's that?
You call them variety stores?
Oh, that's what they are. They're variety stores.
They want to have a variety of things, including lottery tickets.
It's very convenient. Convenience store.
But you can't get a six pack with that pack of cigs and a lottery ticket. You got to go to the BCBLMOA.
LCBO. But, you know, now you can. You can get beer, yes.
Wow. Yeah. See, now that I barely drink it, I can go up there and not find it.
As long as you have a Bobby Orr rookie card, you can get whatever beer you want.
Boy, you just see a little kid going, "Sir, can I come in, please?"
Let me see your Bobby Orr rookie card. All right, come on in. Is this your brother's?
Right. But if you learn to start skating at a very young age, obviously you have a great leg up on the competition who starts when they're 18. Same is true for learning a foreign language. And I think I've been through that. Did I tell you about the time I decided to go, just a couple of years ago, I decided to go back to college and study Spanish?
No.
Yeah. It kind of worked out a little bit, but not for long. Everybody else was 18, Will. They were 18. I was not. And I would study. You have a partner. They hook you up with they don't hook you up. You sit next to somebody and that's your... That's your partner. And you do all your studying together. You do your conversations together and that kind of stuff. And my partner was an 18-year-old woman who was just way too smart for this world. And I, one day we were talking before class and she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I was up for hours doing my Spanish homework last night." And she said, "Oh," I said, "How do you do it with all these classes? How do you have the time to do all that work on Spanish?" Well, I usually spend about 15 minutes. And that's when I realized I'm too damn old to learn Spanish, Will. I can get by. Don't get me wrong. I can get by a little bit, but not at that level. So you got to start young. You don't have to. There's been people in the sport that started late and have done exceedingly well. But it sure helps to have start early, right? And at least juniors or have a parent or a neighbor. And isn't it interesting how many times and during your interviews, when you talk to people about where they got their first dog and they end up saying, "My aunt, my cousin, a person in the neighborhood," not just their parents or not just a generational thing, but they'll say, "You know, my cousin's mother's electrician was interested in dogs and I showed an interest. And before you know it, I was going to shows every weekend."
Well, for sure. Sometimes it happens by accident. You know, your friend that you hang out in school with goes to dog shows. So you decide to go with them for a weekend and boom, you know.
It's true. Well, there's people that I've known. I work with a woman at Rutgers in the vivarium. That's another story of my life. Another part of my life I rarely talk about. I wanted to learn about, we bred one of the first orange white pointers in America to a liver bitch and had black puppies. So that made me say, "Well, Kavanaugh, what do you want to do about this?" So I wrote a book on color inheritance. But to do so, I went to work at Rutgers in the vivarium because I wanted to work with veterinarians and geneticists to help me write this thing. And it's a really small little chapbook. It's like 18 pages or something. And it's way out of print, so don't ask. But I think the Pointer Club still prints it and sells it somewhere for a fundraiser. I don't know for sure. But by doing that, I ran into people who like dogs. And several of them knew that we showed dogs, so they'd go to shows with us. And a lot of them stuck. There's one in particular that's still showing dogs many, many years later and breeding them just from coming to a show with my dad and I because, you know, we worked together. And why not?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He was hooked right away. And there's more than one. So that's another way to get people in the sport, folks. Bring your neighbors.
Yeah. Get out your kids. We're going to the dog show. Come on in.
Yep. It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt. Yeah. So you're looking forward to Orlando?
I am. I am looking forward to it. I'm not, I look out my window right now and the snow is coming down. So I'm not looking forward to the drive, but I look at my forecast, my AccuWeather app, you know, and it says it's all clear about how I'm going to leave, but you still, you look out the window and you still get that hollow feeling in your stomach, but you know.
Well, if you can take the Hallmark Highway, that snow is always white and it, yep. It just parts as you drive. It just goes away. There's no slipping and sliding in Hallmark.
Oh, exactly. And if you do break down, some family, lovely family, takes you in.
Exactly. And you marry their daughter, too. She just left her job in New York. She was too much pressure. She came back home to Willow Valley or whatever the hell it is. I just came up with that one, Willow Valley.
I'm sure Hallmark, give Wayne a call.
That's right.
He has all these scripts in mind for you.
These towns are terrific, aren't they?
This is how we started this podcast.
It's on my mind.
A full circle right back to Hallmark.
The stress of the upcoming dog shows. I need some Hallmark. Anyway, well, we're going to see what goes on down there. I mean, maybe listeners can tell. I'm having trouble with my voice this past year, but I'm probably gonna have that sorted out, but I haven't been well the last
couple. Silky smooth to me.
It hurts to talk. It feels a little raspy, but.
Well, that's not good.
No, but it's, you know, it was, like I said, when we were touring with the Stones, I just screamed too loud. I was too loud with the vocals. That's what it was. I haven't felt great. I've actually been in bed for last week. I'm hoping I'm up and at 'em and ready to go to Orlando. So, I have my tickets, but I plan on being there so we can do stuff down there. Right.
Well, I hope you feel well enough to come and see us all. And I look forward to seeing you. Although I see you every week, but you know,
electronically, it's not the same.
Not the same. No.
I don't get to smell your cologne.
Exactly.
I don't get to sense your aura. Your aura is what I'm looking for. Sure, probably O'Dyer Center.
Exactly.
Ode to Beagle emissions. Oh, man. Never mind.
I'll tell you, my house is always a three-dog night house, no matter what the temperature is. And now they're into this because it's cool, which is great. They're into this. They like to burrow to the bottom of the covers. So, and they do that while I'm watching the hockey game, which is perfect, Wayne, because in the old days, you had to get the bed warm around the the stones up on the fire. And then
we still do that. Right.
Well, I used to do it. I don't do that now. I just let the beagles into the room. And you know, by the time I'm ready to go to bed, the bed's all warmed up. Sometimes I find the odd sock they've been chewing on, but.
You get, and seriously, don't you think that you learn much more about it? I don't know if this works. I think it probably works for him. You get to know these dogs when they're living with you.
Oh, my God, yeah.
In a way that really helps you show them, right? And trim them and see every nuance.
Yeah, and owners need to do this, too. Like we got an email from somebody asking about how owners can do their homework. Mm-hmm. Before they send their dog, and they need to do their homework because, like, I'll get this dog. I've running around.
You're talking about when they bring them to the handler for a ringside pickup,
right? Right, mm-hmm. And they because they've hired some famous handler, they expect that boom, they're going to win best breed or the major, and sometimes they do because some owners hand the dogs to handlers in pristine shape. Like my French bulldog client, I rarely had dogs live with me, and they would come to me. Everything was perfect. Everything. Yeah. And she always told me, she said, how did she expect her dog to perform well if she didn't do her job at home? And like, she has a French bulldog, but the nails were always done. The weight was always perfect. I never had to use the glove on them to get rid of the excess hair. Everything was perfect. And they say, here's your dog. And, it, you know, and sometimes if you handle his hand on a dog that at ringside, you know, its nails need to be done and this needs to be done, even mentally needs work. Mm-hmm. You know, you get more from your handler if you do that homework at home and hand them something that they can work with, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. You know that when you're, as a judge, you see some handler that you know has a good reputation for keeping them in great shape. You walk in, you see them with a dog with long nails and looks like an unmade bed, and you think, I hope this is a pickup, you know.
Well, exactly.
But it puts you in a tough spot, right?
Right. And the dog itself is a worthy dog for the handler to have, yeah. But the handler needs time. If you're not going to do the work yourself, the handler needs time to get that job done at home. And so they can present your dog the best of their ability and the dog's ability. Like you were talking about washing dogs at home. Like you're right. I'll sit here and I'll watch a dog run around the yard or in my house and I'll see what I need to do, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I think it's important. True. And I know about learning about a breed. I've learned more about Staghounds in the last 6 years with Killian than I ever could imagine.
Oh, exactly.
Watching the way he moves, watching the way he sees things. When he goes out the door of the house door is what it is. He stops every time and he looks to his left and he looks to his right. He wants to take in all this peripheral vision and then he'll walk out because he can see way more than I can.
Unlike the beagles, you open the door like boom, the back of the property. I think there's a squirrel back there. Come on with me.
Oh, God, it's even better. A dead one's been there for weeks. This is the best. The hawks missed it. Yeah. So you get to see these things and you get to watch them move. I had a great conversation, a mentored conversation with a spectacular Irish Wolfhound breeder from California. I don't want to mention any names, but hers might be Linda Susan. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, she's amazing, amazing. And we talked a lot about character, about temperament, about the way they move, about how you can learn from looking at them, about function, about the fact that they have to have legs because they're a sight hound, long and low won't cut it. You know, some great
stuff. You had to throw that in somewhere in the podcast.
My day isn't a day without But funnily enough, the long and low breeds, I want them really long and low, like clumbers. But anyway, it was a great conversation about the character of a breed by living with one. And you really can learn a whole lot. I'm not saying you have to go out and buy 190 dogs.
No, but it's amazing. Like, you know, you learn as a handler, because I'm still looking at it as a handler point of view, because I haven't heard back yet if I've passed my exam. But how they react to certain things, because those events can happen in the ring too. So it's amazing to see how a dog reacts to a certain situation they're put into at home. And you can transfer that into how you're going to work it out in the ring. And it does come in handy. And George taught me a lot of this stuff too. You know, he taught me how to foresee things happening, play things out in your head first, and then show your dog. And it's amazing how that really does help you, you know?
It really does. I mean, if you're a second baseman in baseball, every pitch you're thinking, okay, if it's hit to me, I go to first. Or if it's hit to me and there's a guy on first, I need to get to second. But, you know, you have to pre-see those situations before it happens. See, the same show, same is true in the show ring, could happen. You know, and that's another reason that history and function is so important, because as a judge, you can't go over them all the same. You know, you don't run up to a sloogie the way you do to a Labrador.
That's right.
You have to know those, and you have to know why, not just because someone told you should. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I just saw pictures of sloogie puppies. My goodness, they are cute. I wouldn't think so, but they are adorable. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people I've heard, and this is interesting, if you want to get, I don't know, it's a topic for another day, but this person shows in owner-handler series. Is it the National Owner-Handler Series?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of talk about that series lately. And we're seeing that... there are people who are fervently for it, people who are neutral, and people who are fervently against it. And I find it fascinating, really, because I can tell you that I really enjoy judging the owner-handler groups. I really enjoy it. It's a great educational experience for everybody. I can sense, however, the frustration of owner handlers saying they knew nothing about my breed. They did it just because they have one. Well, you need one breed approved in that group as a regular judge to get the judge the owner handler group. So if you have Silky Terriers and you go in there, you have to know all the rest of the group. Well, it's a better example. If you have Sky Terriers, right, a drop coat breed, and you walk in and you can do the owner handler terrier group. If you only have Sky Terrier, you can do the whole group. Are you going to know enough about Irish Terriers, the hard-coated breeds, the long-legged terriers? So, you know, it puts you in a tough spot. So are we giving the owner handlers enough respect by putting judges in there that may not know all the breeds? Or how can we possibly expect owner handler judges to know all the brereds? You know, there's a lot of back and forth. I'm kind of for it, and I think it's a topic we need to save for another day.
Yeah, so, I think I'll write that down so we don't forget. Not that we forget, but you know,
no, we never forget. I know that you've had some concerns about it doesn't give the owners the chance to up their game, right?
Right. I worry about that. I do worry about, you know, the competition level, because when you're in the ring showing a Doberman against me or Andy Linton.
Right.
What are you going to do? You're going to up your game against Andy Litton and you're just going to bowl me over.
And, you know, and then again, you know, the other side of it is I'm sick and tired of getting beat by Will Alexander. I'll show in the owner handler and I can at least win there and feel good about my dog. And there's something good about that, too. Anyway, we'll get to that maybe next week.
So you need to combine the two, but I get it. Yeah. I'll mark that down. We'll talk about that next week. And although we're going to be in Orlando, hopefully.
So. Well, I don't know about Tuesday. And we record these on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Yeah. So I'm not going down till Friday.
Oh, well, I'll be there Tuesday. I'll just have to call you from my hotel room and we'll have to do this.
But, there you go. We've done it before.
Yeah.
We've done it before. Yeah. And maybe you can find Dan down there and we can somehow tie it all together.
Yep, exactly.
But we'll figure it out. I mean, there's a couple people I'd like to have on. Anyway. I just wanted to say, young William, buckle down, hunker down, get the wood for the fireplace, get the bricks in the bed, bricks, I say, hot bricks, and warm it up for you and have a wonderful December as you're heading down to spectacular 80-degree Florida. By the way, that's 80 Fahrenheit. I have no idea what that means in your world. What is it in your world? Some random number, like 32 and a half.
It'd be like 18.
Wow.
Double it and add 30. No, I'll be like 20-ish.
That has to work. Three times.
The basic way to do is double it and add 30.
Oh.
So, yeah. Well, that's how we used to always make fun of the Western handlers, how they added up their points too. They double it. You call them, what are you at? Oh, I'm at 10,000, which means they're at 4,000.
Great. Oh, gosh. A single sport divided by 10 languages. Anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been fun for us, as it always is. If you have any email or any questions, email them to us at thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. We certainly appreciate those. They help us with topics every week to keep it fresh. Young William, peace be with you, brother. Have a safe journey to Orlando. We'll see you there soon, I hope. And I can't wait to see the palm trees.
Exactly.
There's no palm trees in Hallmark movies, so I need the balance.
Yeah. All right, party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Be safe, everybody.
Take care.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way. Way. Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. Without me, where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself damn seriously.
Watch the move. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Ernie.
Don't hold back.